Good morning. This is Labor Day weekend, as most of you know. And Labor Day weekend is upon us, and it marks the end of summer, and so hopefully fall, and maybe some cool weather will begin soon. College football games started playing this week, and my Carolina Tar Heels won last night. Soon, people that are temporarily departed the villages for the summer, they will return. And of course, we still have to deal with the remainder of hurricane season. We were very fortunate this past week that there was not a major storm in this area. But of course, we continue to pray for people in Upper or the Big Bend of Florida as they continue to clean up and hopefully get their electricity back soon. Does it seem like there is too much to do in a short period of time, even though we are, most of us, are retired? Instead of adding an hour to the day, maybe we should add a day to the week. Shh, don't tell anybody though, because they'll want to add something to that extra day that we have in your schedule. Just coming to church on Sunday morning can at times be a scheduling nightmare. And part of that is because we have so many options on Sunday. But never forget, Sunday is the Lord's day. It is the world we live in which we soon wonder where our loyalties are, and how thin can we spread ourselves? As someone here in the congregation told me at one time, they feel like they're trying to fit 10 pounds of potatoes into a 5-pound bag. We see what happens when we do that. Sometimes things get too stretched. Jesus announced to his disciples that he would soon suffer and die. But Peter could not accept the reality that Jesus must suffer and die. He resisted the notion that Jesus' life would be going in a direction that was contrary to what Peter had hoped for. Peter was looking at Jesus' life more from a worldly situation rather than a holy and sanctified stance. After all, Peter needed Jesus. Peter needed Jesus' leadership, he needed Jesus' wisdom, and he needed Jesus to guide him into new ways. So Jesus saw that Peter was resisting that Jesus would go to the cross and die. So he said, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter was standing in the path of Jesus. And Jesus needed to walk that walk. He was going to suffer. He was going to die. And then out of his love for us, for all of us, Jesus was going to be resurrected so that we could be with God in heaven. But Peter didn't want to hear that. He was thinking about the immediate and not the long term. Today we hear that Peter does not understand that the kingdom of heaven, to which himself he was given the keys, the kingdom of heaven will come to its fulfillment only after the Lord had suffered torture, only after the Lord had been through humiliation, and only after the Lord had died. Immediately following the promise of the keys, Peter shows himself quite unworthy of the promises to which he has been bestowed upon him. And what a very interesting moment in his life. Here we go. Jesus has given the keys to the kingdom. And think about that for yourself. What if you'd have been given to the keys to the kingdom? You have been given all this responsibility, and then all of a sudden you realize this is not for you, and you may even be unworthy to do what God has asked you to do. Jesus then told his disciples, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. These are difficult words to hear. I believe that Jesus' words to take up our cross and to follow are often misunderstood. He didn't mean we had to imitate his path all the way to Calvary and be crucified. No. What he meant was that by following Jesus, we join the side of God. By following Jesus and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, by praying to God each and every day, by following the mission that Jesus has set out before us, then we are on the side of God. And that side of God is about love. It's about giving hope to the world. It is about forgiveness. And it is about transformation. Because when we are on the side of God, that places us against the side and the views of the world. We are therefore called by our baptism to respect the dignity of every human being, to love others as we love ourselves, to go in a direction that we might not want to always go. So what does Jesus mean when he says, take up your cross and follow me, or find one's life is to lose it? These are words that seem very radical, or the words that call us to change. Taking up our cross means to yield to God's presence, instead of resisting God. And that can be very difficult because we live in a world that is constantly trying to turn us away from God. That is saying, you don't need God, all you need is yourself. You don't need God, you need this drug over here. You don't need God, you need to drink more of this. We hear that and see that often, whether it is aggressive or a passive-aggressive message, we see it. God calls us away from our current situation, and consequently, we undergo a complete transformation. When people of faith join together, they become part of a unique community. They become part of a body. The body of Christ. We are called to be part of a new family, one that doesn't follow the ways of the world, that looks differently at every situation. It means we change direction, our outlook, and our view of life. We love in the name of Christ. Peter's love for Jesus had in it that remarkable quality of resilience that allows someone to accept criticism without resentment. Peter had plenty to condemn in himself, plenty for Paul to disapprove in Peter, and plenty even for the Lord to chasten him about. But Peter's wonderful enthusiasm for the gospel, for what he knew the truth was really about, and how the Holy Spirit touched his life and his soul, helps himself to get picked up after he has been knocked down, and for Peter to move on. The good news is that people like Peter and people like St. Paul picked up their cross, mustered a clear understanding of the gifts that they have been given, a clear understanding of the gifts and talents and the keys to the kingdom that the Lord had bestowed upon him. And as Jesus commands, they got behind Jesus. In this last imperative that we sometimes forget, for it is like Peter that we too are commanded to get behind Jesus. Allow the Lord to be in front. Allow the Lord to lead us. Allow the Lord to guide us. Allow the Lord to transform us. Jesus must go into Jerusalem. He must confront the world of politics, the worldly view of economics, and the worldly view of religion. And he must confront that with the good news that God's kingdom is here and it's time to be transformed. Thinking on St. Peter makes me yearn for the gifts of his character, the gifts of resilience, the gifts of abiding enthusiasm, and the gift of never failing love for the Lord, no matter what that looked like. It leads me also to reflect on how the Lord looks more deeply and sees us more clearly, our true worth beneath the surface of our lives. He does this because Jesus loves and cares about each and every one of us. The Lord wants nothing but the best for us. The Lord wants a relationship with us and wants us to live within the community and the body of Christ. So as you end the summer and you go into the fall, be willing to take up your cross and say yes to our Lord. Be willing to live into the mission and ministry that God has planned for you. Know that Christ is with you. Know that this congregation, the congregation of St. George, is with you. And we love and care for all. Amen.